Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Why? Is it to increase his followers on Instagram? Is it to say nanny nanny boo boo to the religious authorities? Is it to call out and embarrass other members of his religious tradition? No, not any of those. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Why? To make manifest what has been true from the beginning. As the prophet Isaiah said 500 years before Jesus was born, God desires good news to be preached, and God's will is liberty, healing, and release. Liberty, healing, release. I don't know about you, but that's what I experience on my Sabbath. Free time, restoration, stress release. The Sabbath is the perfect time to heal somebody, to set somebody free from whatever that's not divine, we could say demonic, that is possessing them, possessing us. To be set free from every bond and have every yoke broken. Whatever kind of addiction, whatever type of confinement. To be freed, to be healed, to experience release. This is the Epiphany season, the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. All kinds of things are being made manifest about Jesus the Christ, our Savior, and our sibling. Today, Jesus is in his home region, not his hometown. People are astonished at what he has to say. People are astonished by what he does. His fame spreads, but having his fame spread and his popularity increase is not why he does any of that. He does it because that's what he came to do. He does it because he's the one who empowers us to do the same, to declare liberty, to offer healing, to help others, as well as ourselves, experience release. So then we come to our patron, Paul. Most of y'all have probably heard me say this before, but it's one of my favorite lines, so I'm going to trot it out again. One commentator has said, the best commentary on the letters to the Corinthians is this. Dear Corinthians, stop having a good time. Love, Paul. Could have saved a lot of letters in Greek, right? What is he talking about? Just 2 weeks ago, Paul, our patron, declared a little earlier in that first letter to the Corinthians, all things are lawful for me. Then he says it again and adds, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. Today's reading from 1 Corinthians is kind of an extension or amplification about that. If you are a follower of Jesus, and you worship the one true God whom Jesus brought near, his Father, our Creator, and you're down with all that, and you're following Jesus, and you know that the temple to Athena has some really great stakes on offer, and it doesn't bother you to go in there and have some steak and eggs or whatever they're serving up, that's great. All things are lawful for you. But if in doing that, somebody who's not as far along, not as mature in the faith as you, stumbles because they can't compute, how can you say that you are a follower of Jesus and then even go inside a temple to another god, much less eat stuff that's been offered on that altar? You can do whatever you want, but some things are better not done because they cause harm to ourselves. And sometimes, because it doesn't really make us any difference, but if we do it, it causes harm to someone else. These epistles are always, with the exception of Philemon, which is written to Philemon, all the other epistles in the New Testament are written to communities, and all the other scriptures are for communities, like that first one. Today's first reading from Deuteronomy, where Moses says, God will raise up a prophet for you from among you who will be greater than me. Lots of prophets are raised up, including Elijah. And certainly when Jesus comes, he is the perfect balance of Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. He does it perfectly and invites us to follow him, knowing we won't do it perfectly, but that if we keep trying, we may, over time, in the process of salvation, come to look more and more like him, or at least to act more and more like him. And what does that look like as we follow him and seek to fulfill God's will of offering liberty, healing, and release? It comes in lots of different forms. Some of them may seem small, but they have a lot bigger impact than we might think. Something happened last Wednesday that happens at least once a month. Some people living on Key West in the Lower Keys walk into a laundromat last Wednesday, into two laundromats, and find out there are people from St. Paul's there with a whole bunch of quarters. It's like happy hour for laundry. We call it loads of love. Those people can breathe a little easier because did you know it costs at least $12 to wash and dry a load of clothes on Key West? So they have that little bit of release, that little taste of freedom. Wow. Now I can feed my children all week and they can go to school wearing clean clothes. It happens in other surprising ways, like when a member of St. Paul's hears that Loaves and Fishes Pantry, which we support through Episcopal Charities of Southeast Florida, has almost nothing on the shelves in the wake of the holiday season. And so an organized macro drive comes about, and many of you and many people who don't even come to service here heard about it, brought stuff in. People are still bringing stuff. There are like 24 cans on the back table there that somebody brought in this morning. The people at Loaves and Fishes who work there were on the verge of tears when the volunteers took everything that had been donated from St. Paul's to Loaves and Fishes. They were overwhelmed. And they experienced release and a breath of fresh air, a little freedom, a bit of healing, much less the good news that that will be for the clients who come there needing groceries to feed their folks. Little things can go a long way, and that's really what we're asked to do. We need to think about systems and total expenditures and what we are doing long-term and midterm and in the short-term, day by day, step by step. All we are ever asked to do is do the most good with what we have, where we are, while we have it. Somebody say amen. That's all. Just love like Jesus and act like him. Immediately after this service, we have our annual congregational meeting. Don't everybody groan all at once. It's relatively painless and it usually doesn't take very long, but it's the official transaction of our parish business that we should do in a quorum of members. And we're going to do that in the parish hall. Immediately after this service, make your way as quickly as you can over there, and you can have something to drink and something to eat while we transact that business. That's not so exciting, and there's a book of reports, and I don't know if anybody besides me will read them, but if you do read them, what you'll see is this little congregation at the end of the road is doing good in the name of Jesus all over the place, all the time, and welcoming in literally hundreds of people, not just every month, but every week. They share this ministry of beauty and hospitality in this gorgeous space. They rest a while. They catch their breath. They have a moment of freedom and release. You make that possible through your gifts. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to jump on in and say thank you to everybody who has made a pledge for this year. We have exceeded the number of pledges from 2023, and we would love to have even more as we plan our collective spending to keep the lights on, to keep the ministry flowing. Some of that doesn't take money, it just takes a little time, but some of it takes money. I find that the Aqueduct Authority and Keys Energy expect to be paid. So thank you for all that you do, all that you have done, all that you will do. Thank you for being the body of Christ and the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement here at the end of the road. What is Jesus up to? Healing on Sabbath. Casting out everything that is not true freedom. Casting out everything that constricts anybody. Casting out that which inhibits our living as God intends in fellowship and harmony with our neighbors and with one another. Jesus makes it possible. We will never do it perfectly, but surely we should stay at it while we have breath to be people of the Sabbath, who participate in God's mission in the world. What is the mission of the church? Some of y'all know by now, my favorite page of the prayer book is page 855. It's in the catechism. Question: what is the mission of the church? Answer: the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. Are you on board? Let's double down on love and recommit to that mission. And let's pray that God will help us truly to be people who keep the Sabbath.